702
Series Edition.
Series Edition, Episode 3. If you'd like to catch up on Episode 1 and 2, that Paula Quincy was the guest of, head over to PrimeMediaPlus.com or download the Prime Media Plus app. Today, we are talking dry dating, green dating, and gambiting, and Paula is in studio. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks, and you? Good to be back in studio with
yes,
you.
Yes, and I get so fascinated by all of these new trends, and where do we even begin? All right, let's start with the dry dating. What exactly is dry dating?
So dry dating is a trend that's come about recently, probably I would say the last sort of 3 years, 2 to 3 years, where people are becoming more conscious and aware of the impact of alcohol and are choosing to abstain from alcohol. And so dry dating is exactly that, going dating but not drinking alcohol, not consuming alcohol.
And you know, if somebody is a drinker, it almost might feel counterintuitive, because there are the nerves, especially if it's a blind date, or maybe it's somebody you met online, or it could be somebody that you saw, they've been your crush, but now you're actually going to be sitting for that one-on-one time. Starting with a drink just feels like such a good icebreaker. Where would you say alcohol can play a negative role in those stages of dating that a person would consider, without, of course, thinking about the extreme cases of, you know, date rape, drugs, and major safety issues.
Yeah, and you know, that is the extreme, and there are so many stories around that.
Yes.
But it's so the negative impact could be the nerves could get the better of you, and you could end up consuming one too many glasses of wine, get a little bit sort of tipsy, maybe, you know, shouldn't really be driving if you are drinking.
Yes.
You know, being responsible. And, you know, that could then bring about a change in persona and behavior. So in other words, the alcohol is speaking, not you.
Yes.
And that can create false perceptions or create a false personality in terms of who you are, because you're using the Dutch courage to speak for you.
I almost forgot about that term, and I'm almost thinking about the opposite side of it, which is that if you aren't sober, you might overlook things that you usually wouldn't. You might completely disregard certain things. And when I was in my early 20s, my friends and I had this rule, which was, if you didn't find him attractive when you walked in, he's not attractive all over. Because, you know, after drinking, like, ooh, he's not bad, you know? How bad? Yeah. So that's the, if you didn't find him attractive before,
drink him pretty.
Yeah. What are some of the other things where alcohol can play a role?
Yeah, so exactly as you said, it can, you know, kind of numb the impact of those potential red flags that you may be dismissing or may not be noticing or be aware of, or where something doesn't sit comfortably with you, but the alcohol's flowing, and so we kind of dismiss those red flags, or thinking, as you said, you know, oh, maybe he's not so bad or she's not so bad.
Yes.
You know, they're fun and they're laughing and they're joking, but is that really their true nature and personality? And so we may create wrong perceptions about a person and the potential compatibility, because we're caught up in the euphoria of the moment, you know, the alcohol and that, as opposed to, you know, the opposite, where let's say one partner is drinking and the other is not, is dry drinking, you know, that could also cause some potential issues and conflict as well, because one of you is, you know, flowing, free flowing, easy talking. The other one, who's not drinking, you know, they're not on the same level, so to speak.
Yes.
And so there's an imbalance there in terms of engagement and conversation and personality traits.
I've seen some young people, when I say young, I'm talking sort of 30 and younger, and even some that 30 to 40, who were sharing their stories of going on a first date and why it was horrible because of alcohol. And the one in particular I remember was a woman arriving at her date, and she could tell that the guy had been waiting for a while. So he probably got there quite early. And by the time she got there, he had had a whole lot of drinks in him already. He was unpleasant. He was rude to the staff. Now that she wanted to leave because she wasn't enjoying him herself, he started becoming quite aggressive. And we know this can work the other way around. I have a friend who told me that he went on a date with a woman that had been drinking and out of courtesy was like, you know what? You can actually just stay over by my place so you're not driving. And in the morning, let's just say the mattress was not dry. And so it works both ways.
Absolutely.
And I think there are many, many, many stories to go around. So would you say then when a person chooses to go on the dry dating, are they generally going dry in their lives, or they're saying, I'm intentionally not going to have alcohol while I'm on these initial dates?
So we're definitely seeing a trend where more and more people in general are becoming conscious and aware of alcohol and the impact that alcohol can have on our health and well-being.
Yes.
And so there's been this spate of non-alcoholic beverages that are now available in bottle stores and, you know, retail stores and that kind of thing. So I think it's the more the personal choice around this is what I'm choosing for my lifestyle. I'm choosing to live a healthy lifestyle and not drink alcohol or limit my consumption of alcohol. And that includes when I go dating as well. And so that the plus side to that is, you know, finding someone that is sharing that like-mindedness, you know, and stating it publicly on your dating profile, if you're online, or you know, stating up front, you know, that I'm a teetotaler, as the terminology is some people like to use. And doing it for yourself, not necessarily doing it for the date. But other people are also, you know, limiting their alcohol when going on dates because they want to be more conscious and aware and make more real decisions, more informed decisions around the potential date and the prospect of that person being someone that they do connect with, that they do align with at an authentic level, not an alcohol level.
Yes. We have some voice notes that are coming in on 072-702-1702.
Oh, never ever stop drinking on dates. You must be joking. Some of the best people are out there, but only when they're drunk.
There you go. We are completely answered. And look, at the same time, we also know that there are some people who are extremely shy, and a glass of wine, other than pairing good with the meal, just helps them loosen up a bit. But I think it's good to know about this trend. I want to now ask about green dating. What is that?
So we saw this trend come about post-COVID, you know, especially when we were let out between 6 and 9 a.m.
Yes.
And the streets were alive with people jogging and walking and, you know, exercising and those kind of things. And it's kind of continued from there on, where dates are now moving into green spaces. So walks in the park, for example. So instead of meeting up at a coffee shop to have a coffee, let's grab a takeaway coffee. Let's go and take a walk in the park, sit by the pond, feed the ducks, whatever it might be. And then, you know, more extreme around tapping into your own values and your own beliefs and your own causes that you stand for. So from an environmental point of view, you know, hiking clubs, your carbon footprint. So instead of driving, walk or cycle, cleaning up, you know, the local litter or in your area, or walking the dogs in the SPCA. You know, it's that kind of thing, which is more around the environment and the impact on the environment, which the younger generation have become much more vocal about and much more focused on as one of their causes.
And I think it's so great you're mentioning it, because I think I know many people, I'll speak for myself, I can't stand littering. It drives me nuts. But it's not something, if I put up a dating profile, I would think to say, you know, must have some care of the environment. Why do you think people are becoming so detailed in their preferences of dating, where, for example, if you are saying loves nature, why is that no longer enough? Is that people are trying to get to the chase a lot quicker than what it was before?
I think people are trying to narrow down in terms of someone that is more compatible with me and enjoys the kind of things that I like. And so by stating that up front, so for example, Bumble, they have badges, and one of those badges that you can add to your profile is that you're an environmentalist.
Oh!
Yes.
What other badges are there? Oh my gosh! I feel so out of touch. So you can add badges, but I think it makes it easier to just pair with like-minded people.
Exactly, and that's what it's about. It's about, let me narrow down my choices and my options to people that share the same kind of interests that I do. So if environmental causes is important to me and it's things that I participate and partake in, it's something that I would like my partner to share with me and do with me or support me in.
Yes. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about green dating and then move on to gambiting. We take your questions and comments on 011-883-0702 and the WhatsApp line 072-702-1702.
702
Series Edition.
23 minutes after 2 o'clock, it is episode 3 of our series edition on dating trends and strategies. Today we are talking dry dating, green dating and gambiting. We're joined by Paula Quincy, who is founder of Engage Humans and relationship and life coach. We've covered dry dating, which is the one where you are very intentional by going on dates and not consuming alcohol in the process. And then we also touched on green dating. That is for those that are looking for like-minded people, like environmentalists. And it's so interesting that these trends and strategies are there. We're about to jump into gambiting, but before we get there, give us a call, 011-883-0702. Or the WhatsApp line 072-702-1702 with any of your comments or questions. So Paula, let's talk gambiting. What is that? What am I even pronouncing it correctly?
Absolutely. And I think the most sort of obvious element or thing that people would relate to is the Queen's Gambit, if any of
yes.
you watched that series. So gambiting is it's a chess term, and it's really about strategizing and planning your move and trying to be one step ahead of your potential date or prospective partner. And I think deep down, this is probably trying to control the process and trying to control the outcome, right? By always being 10 steps ahead. So let's use an example. Let's say you and I are dating and yes. we've been chatting online and we both like cheesecake, right?
Yes.
And so now we're going to meet up in person and we're going to meet for coffee and cheesecake. And I'm strategizing and going, okay, well, there's a coffee shop that serves good cheesecake. It's closer to me than you. So I'm going to recommend that coffee shop.
Yes.
Because, you know, it's my hood, it's my territory. And so then, like, I'm in control of the process and I'm in control of the date. Is one example.
Oh.
So strategizing always, you know, so it could be around where you're going to date. You can also strategize the types of activities that you want to do. You can also strategize in terms of, you know, the outfits potentially that you're going to wear. So you plan everything, every detail of the date.
So does this apply to this trend that I have seen, and I've heard of men and women doing it in different ways? So in the scenario of men doing it, for example, what they do is, as you're getting ready for the date, after he said, I'll pick you up, he'll say, let's meet at my place and then we'll go to the restaurant. Now, you thought you're getting picked up. You drive over to his place or take an Uber. When you get there, he says, well, now that we're here, let's just order in. Does that apply where a person is strategizing, but they're not actually being open and frank with you? They originally had a plan that they never wanted to go out in the first place. In the case of women, for example, it might be where she will selectively pick a really expensive restaurant and know she's going to order a lot of things. Does that gambiting apply?
So yeah, that can fall under the gambiting banner.
Yes.
You know, and some of it can be, it can err. There's a fine line where it can err on what is perceived as being manipulative. Okay.
That's what I thought the whole thing is. I'm like, this sounds very manipulative, like doing the super overthinking and over planning. But before we chat more about the gambiting, we have Tabang from Sebokeng. Tabang, how are you?
Fine, you, Relevi.
Good, good. Yes. What's your story?
I hope he doesn't include us at around 50. Try and cream.
You try because and?
I see the try dating and the cream.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah, because I hope he doesn't include us at around 50.
You know.
Only the ones below. Because you know what? We end up having to have a manual.
On how to Paula, are you finding that these dating trends we've been discussing over the past few weeks are applying to individuals that are 40, 50 and above, or is it a young people thing?
So the dry dating is across the board. We're seeing a lot more people across the board consciously, you know, become more aware of drinking and the impact of alcohol. The green dating is more from a younger generation point of view because they are so vocal about the planet and the impact on the planet. And they are the ones that are leading the trends when it comes to environmentally friendly products, for example.
Yes.
You know, and clothing brands or brands in general that support sustainability.
Okay, so Tabang, are you finding that because we're mentioning all these words, it's feeling like it's too much?
Yeah. What can you say? Times are changing.
Yes. Times are changing. Are you single and looking?
Let me not comment. Why do you put me on the spot?
No, because I wanted to know if you need some tips from Paula. Now I don't know if you're married and looking or just single and not sure. I am not clear. But thank you so much, Tabang in Sebokeng. And I think it's important also, Paula, what we're finding is we are just all getting better at articulating things we're more intentional about. Right. So we're putting names to things that maybe were happening anyways.
Absolutely. You know, some of these things were happening, but they weren't spoken about as much as they are these days, which is why the perception that they are new trends. I think they come across as new trends because they are now more loudly spoken about.
Yes.
And people aren't afraid to be vocal about them. And I think that's probably one of the positives that have come out of COVID is people have become more intentional about life.
Yes.
The meaning and purpose of life and what they want from life. And they are not afraid to make those choices.
So final thoughts then about gambiting. How can a person use it in a way that's not negative and manipulative?
So I think, you know, the positive to this is that you know exactly what it is that you want, you know what you're looking for, and you can very quickly ascertain if there is potential with a partner or not, if there is enough to want to pursue a second or third or fourth date, because you're very clear upfront on what you want and whether this person meets that criteria or not. And then if not, move on and don't waste each other's time.
Yes. I'm absolutely with that. Paula, how do we get hold of you on the socials?
So I'm on all the socials. So Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, Paula Quincy or engagedhumans.com.
Thank you so much, Paula. We're back together for another episode next week in our series edition on dating trends and strategies.